Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line from Clutch Sports, Chris Dodson covers the Pelicans, breaking down what was released today, the Pelicans 2024-25 schedule. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. I was telling this to Charlie, man, right off the bat, when you look at that schedule, it's the month of February that jumps out to me. Okay, 13 national TV games, that's great for the Pelicans, but Mardi Gras is a little bit later this year than normal. It's March 4th, but the month of February, you play at Denver, at Sacramento, at Oklahoma City, back-to-back games against Sacramento, at Dallas, San Antonio, Phoenix, Phoenix. Man, and normally that's the type of year, you know, man, somebody got a bubble. Oh, man, my back, I got a soft tissue injury or whatever. Take a look at that schedule in the month of February.
Hey, look, I'm glad you said it because that's exactly what I'm looking at. I think you left off the Kappa, though. On Mardi Gras Day, March 4th, we play the Lakers. So after them parades, we still got some things to look forward to. But, yeah, I'm looking at the month of February. Yeah, looking at the month of February, starting at Denver, you know, the Mile High. But then you got Sacramento, three games in 6 days, and we've had their number. So there's a way we can make a lot out of that month if we just take care of business against a few teams. And then they got the Spurs, a few teams that you should take care of. I'm not too worried about February if they take care of that business, but I'm so much looking forward to that Mardi Gras Day game against the Lakers. I mean, that's got to be the best one on the schedule.
Now Chris, you know, obviously we're getting into football, kicking it off, but when you look at Brandon Ingram would be all right. What do you think, if you look in your crystal ball, what's going to come about with that situation?
Hey, look, I reported on it being a mob market a while back. I think that his extension number is around the $187 million for the max amount of years. Obviously, the Pels and Ingram is wanting to wait that out just to see how he plays. And they both said, hey, we want to be here. We're comfortable checking it out and then seeing where we stand. It really comes down to just shooting 1 3-pointer per quarter at this point. I mean, do everything else you want to do. He was great at ball handling, but the team's asking him to just do one thing once per quarter. And right now, I mean, last year he didn't show it. And if we see that early and often, especially playing Golden State twice, they're, you know, everybody knows they shoot three-pointers. The Pelicans are going to have to shoot threes to keep up with them on the road. A lot of that lays on Brandon Ingram. At least we get a look at what he's going to be doing with that directive early as far as taking more threes.
One of the things, Chris, looking at the offseason, Hyde breaks down, is there a team or two, you say, boy, they've really gotten better this offseason, and kind of watch for them. And we've talked about Oklahoma City, you know, with all those accumulation of draft picks they've had, and they kind of just tanked a little bit and then accumulated all the picks. Now, they got one of the best teams, certainly out in the West. Is there a team or two that you really anxious to watch this year?
Yeah, you started with it. Oklahoma City. I think that we can get wild and say the league should have stepped in and said, for basketball-related reasons, we're not going to let the Thunder have Alex Caruso. That's just almost unfair. It's almost unfair. You know what I mean? And then I like what Dallas has done. They went out, they got Clay, they believe in Clay. They're going to have Derek Lively Jr., another year of experience. They brought in some other guys to help them, Najee. I mean, I'm really excited to see Dallas play the Pelicans, because you're going to know real quick who Najee liked in that locker room and who he didn't. We all know Najee ain't going to hold back no way, no how, on no game. And now that he's wearing a Dallas jersey, if it gets chippy out there, I'm watching nothing but Jose and Najee. I don't think those two will be fighting, but somebody's got to hold those two back from something else. But Oklahoma City and Dallas, they just look so good and so exciting. that it's going to be tough for New Orleans to pull out some wins no matter where they play those two teams.
Charlie?
Chris, circling back around to the schedule, I wanted to get your thoughts on the in-season tournament. Now, I think it's called the Emirates NBA Cup for 2024. It feels like the Pelicans have the group of death, right, in this group. Like the West Group C, they play Denver, they play at Dallas, they play Golden State, and they play at Memphis in November. I mean, those are all premium games in the Western Conference. It just feels like the Pelicans kind of got a tough draw with that.
Yeah, I'll call it the NBA Cup. I'm going to leave the sponsor off until they let me fly on one of them planes.
There you go.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You look at it's the Group C. You might as well call it Group UFC, like I've heard it called. You got Denver on the 15th, but you turn around and have the Lakers at home on the 16th. Then you got to go to Dallas. Then it's Golden State. Like, they did us no favors. And looking at it, Denver has like 4 days off before they come to New Orleans for that first group stage game. New Orleans is going to be flying back home from Oklahoma City the 14th that morning and play them on the 15th. Then the 16th play Los Angeles Lakers. They've done no favors. And if the Pelicans want to write off a couple of them games in the group stage so they don't have to make another trip to Las Vegas, I can totally see how that's something the locker room would even agree with.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, Chris, what is your take on... And obviously the point guard situation. I like those days. We had Chris Paul, you know, Crescent City connection with Tyson Chandler and David West and all that, and considering how far we went into the playoffs. But how do you evaluate, and Jose plays a lot of spirit and all that, but you want him coming off the bench. But how do you view the point guard and that leadership, being the quarterback of the Pels, you know, from the get-go? How do you view that, where we're at right now? Because, McCollum, I mean, come on. No, he's off guard.
And DeJounte Murray's return to Atlanta on December 2nd.
Yeah.
Should be a fun one, too.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one. But I started going out, and I just published this episode of Clutch Points and said, let's look at the point guards in the division and the point guards that will be involved in the NBA Cup. Now, last year we had McCollum, the point Zion experiment. The Pelicans were all over the place with the point guard, but they had about the fourth or fifth best in that division. If you look at Murray, he's an all-star. He's an upgrade over what we gave away, but he's probably still fourth if you do a power rankings of point guards. When you get behind Luka, Ja Morant, Jamal Murray, and Steph Curry, would you put Murray in front of any of those? And he's really going to be fighting with Fred VanVleet, you know, for that fifth spot. That's tough. You've upgraded on paper, but when you look at what you're playing against, I don't know if you've really closed the gap that much, considering how we're going to have to sacrifice somebody and send him to the bench, which is probably going to be CJ, right? That's what we're all thinking. It's going to be CJ. So this point guard with Murray, it's an upgrade, but I don't know how much of one until we see how the system works with him running it.
Chris, I want to go back to the schedule because I think you did a great job of kind of highlighting that stretch in November. If you're looking at just the general games and like 10-game gaps, right, that stretch in the back half of November seems pretty vicious. After that Brooklyn game at home on November 11th, you go to Oklahoma City, you play Denver, the Lakers, Dallas, Cleveland on the road, Golden State at home, at Indiana, Toronto, and then Memphis. That feels like one of the tougher slates that the Pelicans have at any point throughout the course of the season, and it's early on in November.
Right, and I have in the first month, so you go from October 23rd to November 22nd, 23rd. That's when you play Golden State. I believe that Golden State Warriors game at home is a must-win. I know it's 82 games, and they say, oh, you can't look at must-win games this early. In the first month, you have three. Win the home opener against Chicago, right? You got to do that. Then you come, and you've got one lottery team. I forget who it is right off the bat.
Portland.
But then you come back to Golden
State. Yeah, Trailblazers.
Right at home. But then you got Golden State at home. You've got to have to win that to win the season series, especially if you split those two road games that you play real early. But that 10-game slate, I mean, they're playing a lot of teams no matter where they play them. The Pelicans, I think that's their longest stretch of not having a rest advantage as well, the more I break down the schedule. So it's going to be tough to play a bunch of teams who all have NBA finals aspirations, not just playoffs. I think every one of those teams could say, if things break right, even Cleveland, in Cleveland, they could make a finals run, you know, a conference finals run. Something happens to the Celtics, you never know. So that might be the toughest 10 games, and it'll be the 10 games where the Pelicans are most tired once they started breaking in and getting their second win in the season. After that first month where they've got to at least break 500.
And then looking at April to close out the season, Chris, because I like looking at the start, like looking at the end as well. Clippers, Lakers, both on the road, so a trip to L.A. On April 2nd and April 4th. At home against Orlando, at Brooklyn, at Milwaukee, versus Miami and versus OKC to close out the season. I mean, that also seems like a pretty tough slate as well, with the only kind of cupcake being Brooklyn. I think all those other teams obviously have playoff aspirations.
At least you're seeing some Eastern Conference teams.
Yeah, no, I mean, as you kind of mentioned, Mike, with that February slate, you don't see any Eastern Conference teams. It's all Western teams.
Right, and that late game, I hate to tell you, you're going to L.A. for two games. We all know players love to go to L.A. I don't think they'll be practicing too much that late in the season either, so they'll be able to have them enjoy themselves. Then you fly to New Orleans for Orlando, who's very much an improved. I'd put them maybe even third on those teams I'd want to watch on my league pass. And then you fly to Brooklyn. Look, that's hard on the body going from L.A. to New Orleans, then to Brooklyn, then over to Milwaukee, then home from Miami and OKC. I mean, the only team that might be in the lottery is Brooklyn, but they might also, I haven't looked at their schedule too much, if they've got extra rest, that's going to be a bunch of young guys wanting to prove that they still belong in this league next year. So you can't, I don't know if how easy you can write that one off. And yeah, that run-in is very tough with, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 road games against guys that, for the most part, are thinking they're going to be playing in the postseason.
Now, Chris, what are your expectations like? Okay, you look at the superstar household names. You know, we just watched the Olympics and all with Zion and the Pelicans. And then you look at Wemby, how he's representing France, but now with San Antonio. How would you look, you know, you're taking that next step. And now it's not, you know, your first rodeo. Obviously, that's not the case with Zion. Even Wemby now, he seems like he's playing with more confidence going forward. When you break down those two players, because if you're a casual basketball fan, you know who those individuals are.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a great Styles makes fights when they come in here for a couple games. Wemby, I think, got robbed for Defensive Player of the Year. Even going back to the Utah days, we've seen Rudy Gobert get played off the court when the games really matter. We just seen that in the Olympics. And Wemby was on the court. So, I mean, you're going to see something crazy generationally, things we've never seen. I think there's a reason his brand is based around the alien. He really is one, but Zion's a one of one, too. And if he can get in his chest and move Wemby around a little bit, those arms still look a little bit like Jackson Hayes when Wemby's getting, you know, roughed up a bit. Zion can get to the foul line and play Wemby off the court that way, just get him in foul trouble. That'll be what I'm watching for in that matchup. But as far as those two guys, they should both be in the all-NBA conversations. It, of course, comes down to health. But, I mean, those two should be the two of the top 10 faces of the league for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's arguable.
Now, Chris, when I look at Zion, maybe you can explain this to me. You remember his very first game? Didn't he jack like three-pointers? And now you'd be shocked if he shot a three-point shot. I mean, you think in the offseason he's working on if they're going to play off him? Because, you know, he can get to the basket and score at will. But, boy, if he ever develops a consistent outside shot, I'm not saying even a three-point shot, you know, a mid-range jumper or whatever. Well, what's your take on that? Because then he truly could be unstoppable.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you transitioned that over to the the mid-range. Yeah, we'll see him take some threes when he's just wide open, because we've seen he can make them at a 33% clip. I don't think we'll ever see him shooting 40%, but it'll be those mid-range floaters and, you know, twin 12-footers that he needs to just stop when he sees three defenders in front of him at the restriction area. Just shoot right over him. And I think he's been working on that. Actually, I know he's been working on that more than his three-pointers. He's even taken a trip to Chicago, I do believe, to just touch base with old Spoon again, because she was somebody who started encouraging him to make that shot 3-4 years ago, I think, if you really go back on the timeline. I got video of them working on it before a game. But, yeah, I think the challenge, much like Ingram, take 1 3-pointer a quarter. Hey, Zion, take at least 1 floater or mid-range guy. Take something off the glass just once per quarter to start the season, so that you're at least more comfortable with it when we start that stretch run that's going to be so tough before the playoffs.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great insights, bud. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
All righty. Chris Dotson, who covers the Pelicans for Clutch Points. Pelican schedule out today, and interesting that November, February, and how it ends in April.
Those are the highlights, Mike.
And those are the kind of highlights of it when you're going to take a look at it on paper.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.